Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
865, we out here. Talk sports. John Reed, Cody McClure, Fox Sports Knoxville, and...
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
John Reed, give you what you asked for. We got Cody on the MIC, RIP to Reggie White, Fox Sports Knoxville, booming through the satellite. AM, PM on your lunch break. Talk sports through a hurricane or an earthquake. It's the 865 till the death of us. Tune in to Talk Sports like the rest of us. Talk sports. Talk sports, ayy. Talk sports, give you what you ask for. Talk sports, ayy. Talk sports. Talk sports, give
hour you three, what kicking you off in the Fan Run Studios. You guys see in the first 2 hours. Check out the podcast, foxsportsknoxville.com, iTunes, SoundCloud. Cody McClure, headlines, collision course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Officials from the Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year Foundation and Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl announced yesterday that Jeremy Pruitt was selected this week as the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. That's coming from Dan Harrelson at Vols Wire. The honor comes after Tennessee defeated number 11 Kentucky, obviously. The Dodd Trophy is presented by the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in honor of Bobby Dodd, VFL, who also coached at Georgia Tech for very many years. It honors the football coach whose program embodies the award's three pillars of scholarship, leadership, and integrity while having success on the field. So Jeremy Pruitt, the National Coach of the Week for the Dodd Trophy. And I saw something else. I may have lost it, but it was coming from the Peach Bowl, basically, that Tennessee was an intriguing team. But you're getting that with, obviously, all these different bowls.
If Tennessee finds a way to get to a bowl game, especially if they find a way to get there at 7-5 with three straight SEC wins, I would say Tennessee is going to get a way better bowl game than they deserve. I mean, you've already seen it happen a couple years ago when Tennessee got the Gator Bowl in a 6-6 year, right?
Yeah. 7-5, I mean, it'd be cool if we could get back to the Outback Bowl. Been a while since we played in the Outback Bowl.
Didn't we play at that in 2016?
Yeah, against Northwestern.
Yeah. It hasn't been a while. It's been a couple of years, or I guess 20.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't go back that quickly, would we? It'd be 3 years, basically.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying we wouldn't. I was just saying I feel like it's been a while. Like I remember the trip there.
Been a while since we played in the Gator Bowl, too.
I mean, that would just be the year before.
That was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Been a while since we made a bowl game. Maybe we'll go to the Citrus Bowl. Nah. Not at 7-5. We got to go. We're going to go somewhere we haven't been in a while, right? Like, we'll probably end up in Charlotte.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. What would be a good bowl game? Because we've been to the two Florida bowls, at least that we're qualified for, in the last 4 years. So are they going to bring us back that quickly? Does that matter?
I mean, we traveled pretty well.
I don't know.
Right now, USA Today, are you interested where USA Today has us projected?
I don't really care, but sure.
Do you care?
Tell me.
No, you said you didn't care.
I care.
Forget it.
Tell me.
You said you didn't care.
Please tell me.
Say pretty please.
Pretty please.
The Texas Bowl.
I don't care.
December 27th.
Against what, Iowa State or something like that, probably?
No, it would be a Big Ten school.
In the Texas Bowl? I thought that was SEC Big 12 usually.
Wait, what did I just say?
Texas Bowl.
Yeah, did I not just say the Big 12? What did I say?
You said it would be a Big Ten school.
Oh, sorry, I meant Big 12.
Oh, yeah, so Iowa State.
Oh, you did say Iowa State. Okay, I just heard Iowa and checked out, sorry. Oklahoma State, that's on me.
Oklahoma State, huh? Oh, that'd be great. We could hear Mike Gundy bitch about liberalism and snowflakes and millennials and Gen Z. Talk about a guy I like less and less every day.
All right, what about ESPN bowl projections? Do you care where those two guys have us?
What state is it in?
Well, let me see. I got one here. Okay, we got two options. Two options.
Okay.
There's two guys making projections. We have two different options. One is in Louisiana.
Don't care. That's going to be the I'm assuming. I'm just going to assume that's the Independence Bowl and not the Sugar Bowl.
That is the Independence Bowl against North Carolina State. Can I interest you in a North Carolina State matchup?
No. Nope.
Dave Doran, we can have a little bit of drama with him.
No thanks. No thanks.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, intern Andrew. Can I interest you in Tennessee versus North Carolina State?
I've been to Shreveport, and it
thumbs
sucks.
Up from intern Andrew. Ben Lee, thumbs up, thumbs down?
No.
Ben, thumbs up, thumbs down? Ben, are you listening? Ah, damn it. We've lost Ben.
It was a good run.
And the other guy has us playing in, you want to guess this one? Wait.
The Liberty Bowl?
Oh, wait, no, I misread that. He doesn't have us in a bowl game. I saw Tennessee, but it was the Music City Bowl, Tennessee. That's where the name search came in. Wow, what an idiot. This guy doesn't have us in a bowl game? Wow.
I mean, I feel like we're like Music City Bowl at the worst, right? Like, that's the worst option.
You just said these other bowls wouldn't bring us back because we were there too recently. The last bowl game we were at was the Music City Bowl.
I know, but I'm saying that's where the bar
okay?
is. Yeah, that's like the lowest tier we can go. We're not going to Birmingham, Shreveport, or Memphis, right? I mean, I guess I could do the Liberty Bowl. But Shreveport, I wouldn't go to Shreveport if I was paid to go to Shreveport.
Yeah, you would.
Birmingham? We're not going somewhere like that,
oh,
are we?
God, Sports Illustrated. You want to know where they got us projected?
Birmingham?
Yeah.
Against who?
Temple.
Oh, God. Let's just decline the invitation.
I don't want to go to a bowl game anymore.
These nerds don't know where the hell we're going to end up.
I think,
have no clue.
I do think these nerds who do these projections really just try to rank the SEC teams, right? I'd say they probably just go down the line. That's not how it works in big business, okay?
Yeah.
Wouldn't nobody project Tennessee to go to the Gator Bowl or the Outback Bowl?
Thank God for Dave Hart.
What can you do, Phillip? We probably shouldn't spend so much time talking about bowl games. We still got to find a way to win another game.
Fulmer's got a lot of familiarity with the Citrus Bowl.
I'd be like, damn it, when I used to go to the Citrus Bowl, everybody was bitching and complaining.
And now
they're doing cartwheels and backflips to get to the Citrus Bowl.
Now that's the ceiling.
No, he wouldn't say that. He would say, we did this in year one. We're gonna go. This is great. I'm doing a great job as an athletic director. How about that hire I made in Jeremy Pruitt? Great hire by me, right? Right, guys? You love that hire?
I mean, so far so good, Phil.
So far so good, Phil.
We'll check in a couple years and see where we're at. What, Mike Gundy, what a jerk.
Who would you like to beat more, Mike Gundy or Dave Doran?
Mike Gundy. I'm a firm believer in the snowflake. The guy acts tough all the time.
You're the one who just said he was the – just last week you were saying he was your pick to win the fights between the Big 12 coaches. Now you're acting like he's not tough. Make up your mind.
That was before this quote. I just hate that guy. That guy who these damn millennials. I hate that guy so much. I hate that guy more than the sorority girl who parked too close. I mean, although I still think Mike Gundy would probably beat Gary Patterson's ass.
Is he even coaching millennials?
No, he's coaching Gen Z.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's coaching millennials.
All the millennials are in the NFL.
Mike Gundy complaining about people not being committal is the biggest farce of all time. He flirts with teams all the time trying to get raises and not being committal to Oklahoma State. Relax, Gundy. Get off that high horse, buddy.
Apparently, Big Ben texted Le'Veon Bell just before the trade deadline reporting deadline, just to see if maybe we could get him back. You up?
And he said Le'Veon didn't reply.
Yeah. I said I hoped he was going to show up, and if he decided not to, I wished him nothing but the best. He was a great teammate and football player. Rest in peace, Le'Veon Bell. To each their own on what they want to walk away from, he added. That headline sucks. So LSU got a running back. He's like the number one player in the country. Here's a good one. This is from my friend Jordan, which he aggregated. He didn't do the official reporting on it. But according to the Asbury Park Press, former NFL player Charlie Rogers. You've heard of Charlie Rogers?
Who?
Charlie Rogers, former NFL player.
Oh, no. Is this the story? Didn't we talk about this where he got in trouble for threatening Little League kids? Was he the one that was telling the other parent's dad that he was going to take out his son if they
no.
left?
Well, this is a different story because we talked about something like that like 2 or 3 months ago.
He was
right?
A Buffalo Bills guy. Okay, so this is a different story. Never mind.
This guy was a former return specialist. It was a similar thing. He did yield a sword. He did pull out a sword and made terroristic threats at a youth basketball event. He is also being accused of leaving a voicemail threatening a youth football player. This does sound like that story from, I thought it sounded familiar, from like a month or two ago, but that's a different story, right?
I guess these Little League coaches are all crazy.
Because this is just coming out everywhere today. So anyway, Charlie Rogers, he pulled out a sword and made terroristic threats at a youth basketball event.
I feel like you could stop if he pulled out a sword.
He left a voicemail threatening a youth football player. At a middle school.
You sure this ain't the same story?
The incident occurred on October 5th at the Matawan Aberdeen Middle School during an event for parents of a local youth basketball travel team when he brandished a sword in front of attendees.
Wait, it's basketball, not football?
Well, this is just, it's not just this. I've seen this coming out multiple outlets today. So this is a new story. Like, it wouldn't have just happened October 5th and everybody starts
reporting.
Well,
was it basketball or football?
Both. He left a voicemail to a youth football player, an 11-year-old.
Okay.
A profanity-laced voicemail.
Yeah, we talked about this. This is an old story, but what's the new update? Has he been sentenced or something?
Here we go. The sword thing is new.
Oh, okay.
Him pulling out the sword at the basketball event. Same guy, though. Monday's arrest.
This guy probably doesn't need to be working with kids. Can we get this guy away from kids? I don't care if he was in the NFL. let's get him to quit working with the youth, please.
That was back in September. So here's what we got. Monday's arrest comes just 11 weeks after Rogers left an aggressive, profanity-laced voicemail for the parent of an 11-year-old player on a football team.
Saying they were going to knock his son out.
That's right. That was the story we had originally.
But now we found out he has a sword.
Yeah, now he's got a sword. He was arrested by the Aberdeen Police Department on Monday.
Seems like this guy should not be working around children.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he's really the man for the job. If I'm a youth basketball player and a guy pulls out a sword, I'm going to be a little rattled.
Imagine these kids 20 years from now. We've gotten too soft as a society. When I played Little League, my coaches pulled a sword out on me. I had a coach one time call me and leave me a voicemail threatening to beat my ass. I was only 11.
So many expletives in this voicemail.
All right, let's play overrated, underrated next. Intern Andrew, excited to see what you were able to come up with as you take the wheel in overrated, underrated. I hope you will have your all right ready.
I hope the topics are...
All right!
You got big shoes to fill.
Overrated, underrated, next.
Swag. He has some real swag. Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right, Ben, I'm not going to steal your intro. I can't
no.
do it.
Start
I don't have the voice
Start
for it,
over.
Ben.
No, intern Andrew, that's the whole... No. Do it again.
Overrated. Very overrated. It's overrated. Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
Oh!
pretty good.
You guys ready for overrated, underrated?
It's just not the same.
Yeah, it was pretty good on your duration. Your emphasis needed a little help, but the duration was fine.
It made my eyes start twitching a little bit like Ben's does, so I mean, I guess that's good.
Let's see how you do on your topics.
Up first, we got being the best man or maid of honor in a wedding.
Gotta hit the drums, Andrew. I'll say that being the best man or, I mean, I've never been a maid of honor in a wedding, but being the best man in a wedding is underrated. Underrated. You get to plan the bachelor party, sort of, kind of. You get to give a speech. Everyone loves giving a speech. You get to feel the most important. You get to stand the closest to the groom, right? You get to feel all those types of responsibilities, and you get to basically be at the top of a real-life MySpace top eight friends. Like, this is the real-life MySpace top eight playing out right in front of you. Who is this person's most important important guy friend? Oh, it's me? Aw, thanks, buddy. Now here, let me make people cry with my great speech.
So overrated. Everything you mentioned is overrated. First of all, you got to go to a wedding, which is the worst part of it all. Many times, the groom is strapped for cash, and you know they're not covering your tuxedo rental or anything like that. So you're going to be out like $200 for that.
Well, you have to do that if you're a groomsman or a best
man. same premise. That's part of going to a wedding. You're spending a bunch of money to celebrate someone else. Yeah, weddings are the stupidest thing in the world. Anyway, so that's overrated. And what you mentioned, all that responsibility and planning the bachelor party, that's a lot of pressure.
Sounds to me
that's
like
too much pressure.
Sounds to me like someone's never been the best man at a wedding before.
No, I haven't. Granted, I used to be.
Okay,
I used to be, and I made sure to distance myself.
We could tell.
I used to be everybody's best man, and I made sure to distance myself so far away that nobody would ask me to be their best man.
Sure.
I still got a couple who haven't gotten married yet that I'm probably going to have to be a best man.
Yeah, keep telling yourself.
But it's got to be overrated. It's got to be overrated. I mean, all that responsibility. Like, imagine planning a bachelor party.
What if
things go wrong, you know? Well, the strippers were supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. I called Candy. I can't get her on the phone. She probably got shot in the street somewhere.
I would say that being the maid of honor is probably very overrated. I would imagine there's a lot different pressure.
Here's a penis cake.
Well, I just mean like it seems like there's a lot more things to do there with pictures and planning things and getting shirts made.
My God, these Nashville hotels are so expensive.
The night out seems a lot more stressful. Like, being a maid of honor probably feels way overrated.
I mean, all you got to do is go to Nashville and buy a bunch of
You can't go to Nashville
gifts.
If you're from Tennessee, though. Like, if you're a Knoxville person,
what bachelorette party does not go to Nashville?
I feel like if you're from Tennessee, you can't go to Nashville for your bachelor or bachelorette party. Ben Lee's shaking his head.
Talk about an overrated destination for a bachelorette. Go somewhere meaningful.
Man, Nashville's kind of cool. I like honky tonks.
Down on Broadway.
I like honky tonks.
Honky tonks. Oh my God, let's go to Nudie's. Is that a Florida Georgia Line bar? Everything involved with weddings, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, best man, maid of honor, it's all overrated. It all sucks and it's all bad for you.
You know who you sound like right now?
Someone who's not going to get divorced.
You sound like the people at
unlike 80% of America.
You sound like the people at table 9. You sound like the mutants over at table 9 in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who you sound like.
Yeah. Nobody's going to take.
You ever seen The Wedding Singer?
No woman will take half my assets.
You're the mutants at table 9.
All right, well, up next we got college football rivalry trophies.
Oh, God. Underrated. I guess I'm going to go underrated. I think if you have a good rivalry, it probably needs a good trophy. You think about all the great ones. The Egg Bowl. The Golden Boot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Paul Bunyan's axe. What is that, Minnesota, Wisconsin, right? Paul Bunyan's axe. We used to have the barrel thing with Kentucky, and then, you know, that went away. So what are some other ones? Paul Bunyan's axe, the Golden Boot. Anybody know any others? I do feel like it's underrated.
Sounds like they're pretty overrated. You named two. Do they give an egg out? Do they give an egg out during that game?
There's an Egg Bowl trophy.
I mean, the axe is cool.
All right, Egg Bowl, Paul Bunyan's axe, Golden Boot. What am I missing? These all used to be on NCAA, the old games. Used to have all these trophies. The Red River Shootout, what do they play for? Is that like a play for what?
They give a boot away too? Like,
I can't hear you, Ben. You don't have a mic.
Here's the answer. They're overrated because you thought they were so cool and you named three.
I do think they're cool.
And the egg's stupid and the boot is stupid. The axe is cool. The axe is badass. The beer barrel, that was cool. Did you see the Miami of Ohio coach who won last week and they won a rivalry game? And he just started talking about how cheap his school is because they wouldn't go out and buy a trophy for this rivalry game. He's like, I mean, it's supposed to be a big rivalry. Everyone keeps talking about how he can't win this game. And then we finally win it, and I don't have there's no damn trophy because the school's too cheap.
I feel like I should know more of these trophies. I kind of feel bad for not knowing this.
You should, but you don't. Because they're overrated.
I don't think they're overrated. I think they're really cool. For those respective schools. The Apple Cup.
It was always so great to get the barrel after beating Kentucky.
If we had something against Alabama or something against Florida, what can we have with Florida? The victory bell. A lot of them have bells.
Let's see what else.
Bedlam bell.
You've lost.
Boise State, Fresno State. You know what? They have the milk can. The milk can.
Yeah. After hearing that, do you want to change your answer?
The old wagon wheel.
You want to change your answer?
The platypus trophy. The keg of nails.
Up next, we got gambling at casinos.
The golden screwdriver.
I think gambling at casinos just depends on how you do at said casino. If you're winning, it's fun. If you're losing, you feel like the biggest idiot in the world, especially if you're not in Las Vegas and they're not giving you free drinks. Then you just feel like the biggest idiot because you're paying for drinks on top of it. Gambling in the casino can be really fun. Nothing like a hot dice table. A hot dice table, great time. If you're vibing with your bro at the blackjack table, especially if it's a stranger and you're just sitting there together and you two are in sync and he knows how to play and you know how to play and you guys are, you're doubling down and you're splitting and you're just raking and raking and raking in the cash and the money's coming and you're like, yeah, I'm so happy. That's fun. But if you're sitting there with people who don't know how to play and you're not vibing and they're smoking in your face and the dice table's cold, it's the worst experience in the world.
SMU TCU has an iron skillet. There's some cool ones here. The old brass spittoon, Indiana, Michigan State. What are we doing? Casino gambling? That's overrated. That is horrible. I've never walked out of a casino with a good feeling in my life. I've never walked out a winner. I've been up a couple $100 before, still walked out a loser because I got greedy. I'm not good at gambling.
Did you never get a buffet comped?
Yeah.
That didn't put you in a good mood leaving?
Not when I lost $200 total.
Okay.
I mean, I've always had a sickening feeling every time I walk out. That gambling loss is such a sick feeling. You know, you just feel so hurt, dejected, like an idiot. I was up $200. And then I went to the ATM, and then I lost that too. And now I don't have enough gas to get home.
Now you lost the $10 fee on top of it.
Yeah, it's just I always feel horrible when I walk out. Like, I like the casino experience, don't get me wrong. Like, all the flashing lights are cool with the slots, and I do love the blackjack tables and all that. It's just the scenery's great. It's just the feeling walking out. I can't. It's overrated. It hurts too much.
Up next, we got placing the franchise tag on somebody.
Obviously, it's overrated. Didn't work out for the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. Franchise tag is stupid. You get big-time money, but you only get a year. I can't believe it's still in the NFL. I would think that would be something during the next CBA that they're like, hey, we can't do this anymore. I'd say that's something the players want to get rid of is the franchise tag.
I guess I'll go overrated.
Andrew, how about called you Ben? Andrew, next.
Next, we got Twitter meltdowns like Zach Smith's going through right now.
Twitter meltdowns are underrated. I love seeing someone just melt down, just tweeting through it, upset, mad, letting their emotions fly, losing their control. Add some alcohol to it, it's even better. The next day, though, when you go through your tweets, you feel so bad. But I love watching in real time someone. Zach Smith's gained 20,000 followers on Twitter over the last 2 days. I can't bring myself to follow him because I still kind of think he's probably scummy. But I check. I keep going back to his account to see what else he said. When Kanye was doing it, a little bit different. I felt a little bad for him, but it was still worth watching.
I feel like Twitter meltdowns are really overrated. Just somebody just tweeting through things. I mean, what is that? What did you do 10 years ago before we had social media? I mean, what were you doing then? Just writing angry letters to yourself?
That is a good question. Maybe you were just pinting up all that anger and blowing a blood vessel or getting an ulcer.
Did we really ever need an outlet to just complain about everything in the world? I mean, if Facebook and Twitter had never come along, like, what would we be doing? Probably just keeping all that to ourselves and just. And then you get these angry mobs coming after you because you tweet these things. Like, is it really worth it? It's just kind of dumb. But I mean, the mobs are dumb themselves. It's just it's a whole dumb thing in general.
Travis McKinney of the McKinney Team will join us next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
The days are shorter and football is back. It's Kelly.
It's Wednesday. It's 12:30. That means it's time for Buy or Sell. Travis McKinney of the McKinney Team with Keller Williams joins us, as he always does. This time he's in a sling.
Yep, I'm here, though.
Somebody beat you up? What the heck happened?
Had a little injury in the gym. Torn pectoral muscle, but I'll be back better than ever.
See? That's why me and Cody don't go to the gym.
That's right.
That's why me and Cody don't go to the gym. Injuries. Notice there is only one of us in a sling here, and it's the guy who goes to the gym.
Don't work out. You don't have that problem.
It was not fun. I had my surgery Monday, though. Now it's time to heal. Be back strong.
Good time to do it. I know you like to play golf, so it'd be a good time to stay off the course for a little bit.
It's a good thing I got it. I was supposed to have my surgery Thursday before the Kentucky game, but they allowed me to move it to Monday, so I got to go in there and watch that epic performance from the Vols there. So that was awesome.
Had fun at your tailgate. Nice to meet you. Greg, the winner of your tickets, and his son. It was a fun time. And then, we finally got to see Tennessee win a ranked game inside Neyland Stadium. It feels like it had been forever.
It was a great day all around tailgate. Yeah, Greg came by. It was cold, but everybody was having a great time. The stadium was rocking. It was a great day.
How did we feel about Tennessee's performance there? Like, overall, pretty dominant. Do you think it was a sign of things to come moving forward the rest of the year, or do you think it was just kind of a perfect matchup, Kentucky being one-dimensional, Tennessee being able to kind of capitalize on that?
I think it was a 9 out of 10 performance. I mean, they dominated the entire game. There was really never a time that you thought Kentucky even really had a chance. I mean, they scored the kind of the late touchdown, but our defense played really, really well. Darrell Taylor with 4 sacks. I mean, that's incredible. I thought it was a very good performance overall. Running game was good. Special teams, just all-around good performance.
Yeah, it was that was the most surprising thing to me, is that Tennessee was able to just gash Kentucky on the ground for 200 yards. That was maybe the most promising sign for things to come. The pass protection was also pretty good. They had Josh Allen, who was a stud, coming in. Pretty much, limited him. He did get 1 sack, but I assume that means that when I ask you buy or sell Tennessee going to a bowl game after beating Kentucky, that seems like an easy buy at this point? Or no? Okay, a little
bit
of reservation.
It's not an easy buy, but I am buying that we go to a bowl game. Yes, buy.
Cody?
I think it's an easy buy. I think we're going to get it done. I don't think there's any way Jeremy Pruitt loses to Vanderbilt.
I think so, too.
Oh, God. Well, you never throw the "there's no way it happens." There's always a way.
I mean, that Missouri Vandy game was close last week. I mean, it's going to be these two games aren't going to be easy.
So there's no way he doesn't go 7-5.
So when you look at 8-5, go ahead and throw the bowl win on there. 8-5.
Sure.
Cody also just said that bachelor parties being a best man is underrated too. So that was a little
takes were a little bad there.
I said overrated. John said underrated.
Okay. You said overrated. That's what I meant. Yeah. No, so being part of a bachelor party, being the best man is awesome.
You think
you're
so?
Wrong on
That's
that?
He just hasn't got the experience.
He's never got to do it. Yeah.
It's too much responsibility.
It's okay. Cody doesn't like love. We have to dive in every now and then and try to peel some layers back on the big guy to see what hurt him as a child. But he is not a fan of love. He's not a fan of weddings. It's
okay.
Like an onion. Like Shrek.
So when we look at the Missouri-Vanderbilt game, were you looking at that as Vanderbilt looked better or that Missouri maybe not that good since they struggled with Vanderbilt? Like, I never know how to come out of those games feeling because, on one hand, yeah, Vanderbilt kept it close on the road. Maybe they're a little bit better than we thought. At the same time, Missouri struggled with Vanderbilt at home.
I just don't think Vandy, they're kind of like one of our old coaches. They couldn't finish. They can't finish a game. They've been in a lot of games, and they just can't. They cannot finish a game. They don't know how to win. Pruitt does know how to win. He's already proven that. And I don't think that Vandy can beat us in Nashville. It'll be basically a home game, too. I think we'll have a lot of fans there, just like we always do in Nashville. But this weekend concerns me more than Vandy with their pass attack. I mean, like you said, Kentucky's one-dimensional, and our defensive line is our senior,
right,
older unit.
Right.
And you know, with the passing game. But if we get pressure like we did, I mean, that guy had nowhere to throw, Kentucky's quarterback.
Yeah. And Darrell Taylor's been pretty good all season. Like, yeah, you remember against Georgia, he had the two strips, and one of them actually ended up going for a touchdown for Georgia because it bounced right back up to him. But he was unblockable in portions of that Georgia game, too. So if Tennessee can keep Missouri in third and long or get a lead somehow, you would think that the pass rush maybe becomes a strength for Tennessee. Are you buying or selling Missouri as a, you know, 6-point favorite in this game?
I was about to bring that up. I mean, that's another kind of head-scratching line. I mean,
yeah.
But they really do. I think Vegas understands that this is not our best matchup. And I'm buying, though, that Tennessee covers. And like we said last week, money line, baby.
There we go. It feels like they said the same thing about Missouri and Kentucky, right? Like, wasn't that the conversation? Remember, yeah, Kentucky went there as a top, 15 team? I don't remember exactly where they were ranked. But they went to Missouri as a top 15 team. And all week long, you just kept hearing of how bad of a matchup Missouri was for Kentucky. And then Missouri came out and scored 14 points and had 8 straight 3-and-outs and, you know, was able to let a anemic Kentucky offense hang around just long enough. So when we look at this game, like, do we think it's going to be something similar to that, like low scoring, or is Tennessee going to have to score over X amount of points to win? Like, Cody, is there a magic number here that you think for Tennessee to score? Because, you know, Kentucky held Missouri to 14 points.
I think that our defense is playing so well right now that we could see another game like that to where if we get to 20, we can win the game.
You said last week. You said last week the key was 20 points, and, it, you know, obviously you could have
scored. We only needed 8.
Yeah, you could have scored 8 or 10 and won that game. But, yeah, so you think 20 is the magic number on this one?
If we get to 20, now that may be selling Missouri's offense short a little bit, but I think our defense is playing so well right now that I could very well see – Tennessee's defense holding them down to 14 or 17 points in this game. Maybe we need 21. Maybe they score 20.
Need the extra point?
Give us 21. Yeah.
So a over-under of 56.5, it sounds like you're selling on that.
As far as taking the under?
Well, yeah, I mean, or I guess was that just Tennessee's path to victory? Because, I mean, you're saying you only need 21 points and you have confidence in the defense, but I guess there is a scenario where Tennessee just doesn't perform and Missouri's able to move the ball, I guess.
I think the key to Tennessee's victory is that going under. Yeah, so I would sell that.
Travis, what do you think about the 56.5 point spread? You going buy or sell?
I think we do need to I think we do have to stay on the under, if that's what you're asking, to win this game. I think we got to get to about 27 in this game. But I do think our defense, like Cody said, they're playing really, really well, and they're healthy. We get Flowers back this weekend, too. I thought he was going to be back last weekend, and no. But I do think that we hold them to under 20, and we were going to win the game. We're going to score points.
So does that mean are we buy or selling Drew Locke as the key to this game?
Buying. He's there. He's the key for Missouri for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if we think stopping Missouri's kind of irky, then I would imagine that, you know, he is the guy we have to stop. Cody? You buy or selling Drew Locke as the key to the game?
Yeah, I think I would buy that. I think for Missouri to have success against us, he'll have to play well. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to come in here and have much success against our defense without good quarterback play.
Travis, you have season tickets. You're always there. Are you buy or selling a better atmosphere than Kentucky for this game?
I'm selling that. I actually thought the Kentucky atmosphere was pretty good. I mean, you all probably on TV saw some of the empty seats up top.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought there was a lot of blue. It was so cold. I mean, a lot of people were wearing just whatever big jackets they had. There was still a lot of Tennessee fans. There wasn't half 30,000 Kentucky. There's no way.
You can't always you can't always have a big orange jacket to keep you warm. Sometimes you just got to go with survival.
That stadium, so where people were just wearing survival mode.
lots of orange and black in the crowd in November. Yeah,
but it was loud. I mean, the crowd. Even Pruitt even said it, that the crowd kept them in the game, and they really did. It was loud in there the entire time, really, because our defense was finally doing things that that's how you get the momentum going. They were sacking. It was great to watch. Be a part of.
Usually we ask you other SEC questions, but the SEC is basically taking this weekend off they always do, which is why you have a Tennessee-Missouri game at 3:30 on CBS, because there's only two other SEC games. Buy or sell, Cody, we'll start with you. Is it time to go to a 9-game SEC schedule because of just like weekends like this where you take the whole week off as a league?
Yeah, I'll buy that anytime. I'd much rather see another conference game than see us play, which, we don't have to suffer through it this week, but we did it three times this year. ETSU, UTEP, and Charlotte, people just weren't invested. Those games sucked, quite frankly. So, give me a 9-game schedule.
It seems way worse when all these teams do it on the same weekend, right?
Oh, it's horrible. It does.
Like when you have three SEC games. Travis, you buy or selling the 9-game schedule?
Oh, completely buying. It's going to be bad. I mean, imagine this Alabama game at noon. There's not going to be nobody there. You know that.
Are they playing the Citadel? Right?
I mean, it's going to.
And despite how hard Nick Saban tries to make it sound like an important game, and they're going to play two and all this, like, I mean, that's one of the more eye roll inducing things is him trying to play up the Citadel game.
It's pitiful that they're even taking the field against that team. Like, if you're the Citadel, how do you come into that game? I mean, what are you thinking? Like, well, let's just try to get out of here without being, get out of here alive.
Yep. I had a friend that played at a school like that, and they said the same thing. They played Wisconsin, a couple of them, just like, guys, let's not get injured and try to finish out our conference schedule strong.
But so I mean,
that was exactly what their coach told them.
I always wondered that because, like, you have to be realistic, but you're also like, oh, maybe we can shock the world. Let's go shock the world, guys. No. But no, it's just like, let's not get hurt.
No, he said when they played Wisconsin, when they had J.J. Watt, there was no shock in the world. It was get out of here. Let's get out of here as fast as we can.
Let's not take years of our lives. Yeah. Let's not end up in slings.
Back on
let's
the bus just go back to conference play.
Let's get this money for this school.
Get the money.
We're not going to be able to really benefit from as students. Like, we're not going to get the new facilities. Like, that'll be for a couple classes down the road. We're not going to get to enjoy these new facilities.
Yep, that's exactly. I think we definitely got to get to the 9-game. Is that going to be talked about this year in the SEC media days or no?
Apparently the schedule's locked in for the next 10 years, right?
Yeah,
I was gonna say,
10,
is it 2028, Cody? I think the schedule's locked into.
Yeah, it's locked in, which it always gets talked about, But it's just they're not gonna be able to do anything about it for quite some time. But
I know Gus has been complaining a lot about at Auburn. Gus Malzahn, they get stuck playing Georgia and Alabama, either both away or both at home, and this year they're both away, and
that's
like
tough.
As he's like begging, trying to keep his job, and on the sideline saying they better not fire me. Like
he's been pretty good against them at home.
Yeah, but it's the off year. Like it's like, oh, we got to go to both now. Damn it!
I mean, if you think about it, I guess it was a different year. Never mind.
No, you're done.
Yeah, well, they beat them both last year, but I was thinking
your train of thought ran off the tracks.
The last four home games they had, they'd won them all. But I was going back to 2013.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, my train went off the tracks.
Fair enough. Last question. I just want to know, Travis, you buy or selling my Titans?
Gosh, that was what a performance on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I think the Colts are going to take them down this weekend.
Well,
unfortunately,
get out of here. I knew better than to ask you an NFL question.
I'm the same. I'm a bandwagon Titans fan.
I'm selling your response. I'm selling your response. Strike that from the podcast, Ben Lee. Get that out of the podcast. All right, a couple things. Travis, tell us who won the tickets to the finale, the home finale, Senior Day.
We had it. Really, it was an easy pick. I mean, he was one of the only ones that had it close. Lee Stoops on the Twitter page, 24-10, drilled it. So he's going to be coming by the McKinney team tailgate. This week we gave away a parking pass too.
Ah, nice.
He gets to park, be right there with all the food, the action, and get to go in the game. So,
all right, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, or if they are interested in buy or selling real estate, or some land.
You can reach us on our Facebook page, Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams. ZillowKnoxville.com, our Twitter page, the McKinney Team, McKinney Team Instagram, or call me directly, 865-548-8267. We'll be able to help you with any real estate needs you may have.
Appreciate your time, Travis. Last call on the other side. Last call on the program. Time to pump the brakes and keep rolling. Cody Mack, you want to go first or second?
So first.
I got an update on five-star offensive tackle Wanya Morris. According to Jesse Simonton, friend of the show, Wanya Morris has told VolQuest on Tuesday that he will now enroll early at Tennessee. Well, seems like a big deal.
We'll need him.
It seems like if you get here early and you get the spring practice, that's a really good chance. Like, you know, Trey Smith did that in 2017 and was really good his freshman year at guard.
Get here ASAP, Wanya. I mean, the best thing about hearing that news to me is that we're pretty much 100%. No chance of him decommitting.
Yeah, it seems like 100% certainty that he is coming back.
He is a Vol, so that's good. South Florida strip club celebrating Thanksgiving. Stop. By giving away 3,000 turkeys. The Cheetah Gentlemen's Club is once again giving away free turkeys to families in need for Thanksgiving. This is coming out of Hollandale Beach, Florida. All three Cheetah locations in Hollandale Beach, Pompano Beach, and West Palm Beach will be distributing 1,000 turkeys November 19th between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., according to the South Florida Strip Club chain's Facebook pages. The turkeys will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis while supplies last and will be limited to one per household. So you can get yourself a private turkey or a private dance. Your choice. Head down to the Cheetah, Hollandale Beach, Florida.
There's a joke there somewhere with
about a turkey,
strip clubs and turkey necks.
It's somewhere.
I feel like we should just move on and remind you that this Thursday, tomorrow, Russell, the Drive, will be at Corner 16 for their 7th annual Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill Turkey Drop. This Thursday, tomorrow, from 3 to 6, Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill will be giving away Thanksgiving turkeys on a first-come, first-served basis. Join us at Fan Run Radio for a live broadcast at the Drive, where they plan to give you the bird from 3 to 6.
Maybe something to do with stuffing.
No. Well, that's not – okay.
I didn't say it.
I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, there's a joke somewhere, but obviously we'd never say it.
I'd say we should just quit trying to find where the joke is.
You can be creative in your own mind.
I got ratings updates for late night TV viewers. Oh, wow. Never would have thought this.
Yep. I don't know what it's about.
I'm so good at the tease.
Steven, I feel like it's going to be.
I mean, you're probably not going to like it. I was just
going.
Rolled. I mean, maybe not. Maybe you're interested in this, but Stephen Colbert has pulled ahead of Jimmy Fallon.
I am interested in that. I love late night.
Among adults under 50 for the first time ever.
Stephen Colbert ahead of Jimmy Fallon.
Yep.
Adults under 50?
Yep.
I'd say that's a little surprising because I would think Fallon tends to resonate more with the younger audience.
Fallon is my least favorite. I like Kimmel.
I like Fallon better than Colbert, but yeah, I think I'm a Kimmel guy too. I mean, Kimmel's probably number one.
No, there you go, though. Colbert. Passes Jimmy Fallon.
Kimmel's number one, I assume.
Nah, I would say that Colbert's number one now.
No. Ahead of Kimmel? Kimmel's got to be number one.
I don't know.
In late night?
I think so. I'll figure it out. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see here.
I think Kimmel's third. I think he's number three out of the two.
How is that?
I think he's number three out of the three.
Oh, well. Climate change could hurt sperm.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm Michael Jordan. Stop it. Get some help.
Sperm do not like heat. So climate change could end up damaging male fertility, a new study says.
I feel like you should have stopped after sperm do not like heat.
So don't microwave them. No, basically, it's a new study coming out in the UK that basically says that eventually men's fertility could be affected by climate change as temperatures soar around the globe. The study showed clear evidence that stress from heat waves reduces the sperm number and viability in bugs. So it's just going to be a bunch of big, sweaty men eventually. Well, that's not how that would work.
It's the end of the human race.
Just a planet full of women would be better.
That'll do it for us today. Great job by you, intern Andrew. You ran that board to perfection. Good job by Ben Lee getting the Periscope up and running. Cody, you're solid. John Reed, phenomenal as always. We'll be back.